set?
We are all set. You're good to go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is August 16th, 2021, and this is the normal Town of Curry Beach Town Council meeting. May I please have the invocation from John?
Yes, sir. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, we seek your help with our affairs today. Bless this meeting with your divine intelligence and help us to make the best use of our own. We are of diverse opinion occasionally, but we wish to mend our differences and reach agreements satisfactory to all. Please share a little of your wisdom with us to help us do right by all concerned. Thank you for your heavenly blessing. Amen.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, gentlemen, have you all reviewed the consent agenda? May I have an approval for the consent agenda, or do you have any changes?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, David. Moving on to adoption of the regular agenda. Do I have any changes to the regular agenda?
I make a motion to remove under 7.3, the first section, interview Charles McCone as a full member of the Historic Preservation Commission. As he withdrew his application, as his employment has changed.
Okay.
Second that motion.
Okay, so we have a change to 7.3, item 1. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. The agenda stands as made. Okay, we move on to the public comment phase of the meeting. Do you have any public comments or anybody signed up for public comments, Mandy?
No, sir.
Nobody? Okay. Then we will move right into presentations. You're on, David.
So I'm not sure if you can see me in council, but I'll ask that first.
Yep, you're large.
Well, I'm large, okay. Well, I hope not too large. One, I apologize again for not being there with you guys, but I don't want you to catch this terrible cold I've got. This is a very special honor for me, so I'm not sure who in the family actually made it or is it all the time, but it is definitely something that I take very seriously, and I appreciate the council the opportunity to recognize our former legal attorney, Andy Knudsen, with a plaque and a resolution from the council. So for those of you on the phone that haven't had the opportunity to interact with Andy over the years, I start right out by saying, he was a hometown boy just like me, Curry Beach boy. He actually was the first paid lifeguard in Curry Beach starting in 1950, and then he fulfilled a number of roles throughout the town. Volunteer firefighter, which we both shared, in addition to lifeguards. He was a police officer, which I'm fortunate not to have been, I think. And of course, he was our legal guidance from the early 60s, so before I was even born, until last year. During that time, I was fortunate enough to know him my entire life and interact with him both personally and professionally on council business. And for all the councils that have preceded me, I would just say that he gave great guidance with a very positive attitude, and he always cared for the town. It was evident in everything he did when you interacted with him how important the town of Curry Beach was to him and his family. His service cannot really be understated. All of the things that we do up on council, all the ordinances that we enforce, he had a hand in. The initial planning for the town, he had a hand in. Building the fire department, he had a hand in. The lifeguards that we are so fortunate to have, he started the traditions that built them into what they are. For his family, both in person and on the phone, I'd just like to express my high personal appreciation for the opportunity to work with your loved one and the opportunity for the council to recognize him with a resolution. His bride had asked that something be read at this point, so I'm going to turn it over to Lisa, who's going to read something, and then turn it back over to the mayor for a resolution and presentation of the plaque. So I'll move out of the way for just a second.
Evening, council, staff, and members of the audience on the phone or otherwise. Mrs. Kadunas, better known to us as BJ, could not be there this evening and asked me to read the following statement, which I'm honored to do. So, BJ, I know you're on there listening. We love you. And glad to be at home, being safe. She would like me to start with the following. My beloved Andy, my thoughts continue to ponder. It has now been a year, yet I continue to feel all the dampness from all the frequent tears. You stay in my thoughts daily and I whisper your name. I wonder why you left me as I cry your name. I know you are not hurting. That's the only comfort I can find, yet I still want to hold you and keep you forever. It's my time. The impact you made on this school forever will be embraced, the exact degree you may never know. You are a man of knowledge, fortitude, laughter, and love. Not a man to cross, but one to trust. So in your honor, we will remember you today, forever blessed by your presence, forever in our hearts, with all my love, your loving wife, BJ. And she wanted to say thank you, council, very much for this opportunity for him to be right back now. Thank you. So Greg, like to make the motion that we pass the resolution, which I believe you can read.
Okay. We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Motion and the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Resolution is passed.
It's actually a proclamation, sorry.
I'm sorry?
Proclamation.
It's a proclamation. Thank you. It is a proclamation.
Sorry.
Yes.
Can you read, Chris?
Yeah, fine. I'm trying to get my hands on it right now.
There
it is. Got it. Whereas the Curie Beach Town Council and the mayor recognize the extraordinary contributions that Andy Kanutis made over a 70-year town career. Whereas Andy was a well-known and active participant in the welfare of the town of Curie Beach and earned the affection of a host of area residents. Whereas Andy Kanutis served with distinction and dedication to the town and his positions as lifeguard, volunteer fireman, police officer, and town attorney. Now therefore be it proclaimed that the town council of the town of Curie Beach, North Carolina, hereby expresses its sincere appreciation and gratitude to Andy Kanutis for his leadership and guidance to the town, for his time, energy, good nature, and positive outlook to make Curie Beach a better place to live. So is proclamation, town of Curie Beach, for Andy Kanutis and his valuable service to all of us personally in council and to the town residents. Very ready for the presentation.
Citizens and community of the town of Pure Beach. Andy was an inspiration and a mentor to his fellow co-workers and the mayors and commissioners from the town's initial founding in 1947 until his last official town council meeting on July 20th, 2020. He will be missed, and his service is an enduring inspiration to all of us.
Can we ask
But anyway, you will appreciate, as he would say, his mug shot hanging in the town hall.
Yes,
those that knew him, those as usual.
Let his friends see and pass it to his friends.
But we really do appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you.
Doing this honor for him.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
Sure.
He was quite a guy. A lot of coffees, a few drinks, a couple dinners.
Well, you know, his parents were very involved in the town also. His daughter was the mayor, town council.
And they owned the town Jack Max.
Right. So they've been here a long time.
Yep. 1947, he was part of us. We miss it.
Thank you.
Moving on to Deb LeCompte. Did I say that properly? All right.
Actually, I'll be the one speaking tonight. My name is Brian Bass. I'm the founder and president of Pleasure Island Habitat. And we would like to present to Curie Beach Town Council today and the rest of the town of Curie Beach a new initiative that Pleasure Island Habitat has come up with. And in recent light of all the discussion about cutting down live oaks and native trees and on Pleasure Island, we decided to change the conversation from cutting down trees to planting trees. Therefore, we have formed a committee named it Habitat for Trees, in which we will donate donate native trees to public property in Carolina and Curie Beach. Our goal is to start with planting and designated private property areas with the guidance of the town leadership, and in the future, we plan on providing the same service for private property owners. All funds will be donated by Pleasure Island Habitat. So we're not asking for any money, just permission to plant some native indigenous trees to the island. Our nonprofit is in the process of applying for a corporate membership with the Arbor Day Foundation and forming a committee for Habitat for Trees. We have an arborist that will be consulting with us and assisting us in the types of native trees to be planted on the island. We will be working with hopefully the town of Curie Beach and the town of Carolina Beach to find appropriate places in public property to plant these trees. We are ready to kick off this initiative with the blessing of the town council. We believe it is a win-win situation for the entire island. We received the blessing of Carolina Beach Town Council last week, and we look for yours this week. Thank you very much for your time and consideration, and we're here to answer any questions that you may have.
How would you like us to help you?
Well, we would like for the town to possibly come up with some areas that we could plant trees that aren't going to be cut down later. So if you have a plan for a new water tower or something of that nature, we don't want to plant a tree there. So come up with some areas to plant trees. Our arborist will work with the town staff so we plant proper tree in that area. So you don't want to plant one too big in an area where there may be some parking or something of that nature. But we would be, if you could appoint somebody with the town for us to work directly with, we would love to do that and have our arborist come talk with you all and start planting some trees.
Any questions or comments from the council?
So it's still okay to cut down the old ones, or we're just going to put up new ones? That's what.
I'm not here to discuss cutting down trees, I'm here to discuss planting. That's a conversation for you guys.
That's right. But
well, Joe, we already have an ordinance on that.
I know, but that may be superseded by our wonderful friends in Raleigh.
I think it's a great idea. A thing should be some council that works with this as we look at the property. Because, Brian, you're talking about town-owned property, correct?
Yes, sir. Talking about, we're starting with public town-owned property. And then we're going to, after we do that for a little while, we're going to move in and having a private property owners apply for us.
So this is just trees. Right. We're not talking about native shrubs or anything else. It's trees.
It's mainly going to
It's just going to be indigenous trees. So we will work with the arborist to tell us what trees best are suited for the island.
Okay.
So, no, we're not talking about shrubbery and landscape, just trees.
Live oaks, red tips, magnolias, things of that nature that are indigenous to the island.
So
no palm trees.
Yeah,
very good. Now, this may be a stupid question, but we have a list of trees that are indigenous, like is American oak indigenous?
Yes.
It is. Okay. All right.
So I think for the most part it's red buds, live oaks, cedar, magnolia, and there's one other. But we have a list of trees, so
okay.
We basically went to the Arbor Day Foundation and they gave us a list, and we'll also work with the arborist here in Wilmington.
I believe that's a tremendous offer. You're doing a tremendous thing, my personal opinion. Any other comments?
I fully support it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And, you know, we get wrapped up at time planting Bradford pears and stuff like that, that you know what happens to them eventually. So I think it's a great idea of making it indigenous trees.
We just want to get the community involved and kind of change it from a negative conversation to a positive conversation, try to get everybody involved. Public and private.
Right. Any other comments, Joseph? All right. So what is the will of council? We consent to support.
I certainly consent. If you want to
I look forward to getting more information from them. And
I think the more detailed question, Craig, is who's going to work with them. So identifying the area is okay, but I don't think it's all the work saying, yeah, these are the right places, because it really goes more towards the land use long term. The first thing which we can easily do is identify the properties that the town owns and then say which ones could take trees and which ones could not.
Yeah.
I think that it needs to, a couple of people on council need to work at that and then bring it back to council so we don't get a department head and in the weeds on what's an actual property rate.
Okay, I mean that's.
I'd be glad to be one of the commission.
That's excellent input. In fact, the individual we do have work with them might be somebody with a little more knowledge than typical staff or commissioners, and we'll find the right individual to be in communication with you. They, of course, will report back to council. But I'm not sure we'll be staff. It may be a town citizen.
As long as it's the blessing of council.
There's an organization. I was in Asheboro for 20 years, and there was an organization called Trees North Carolina, and it's a group that tried to do this in Asheboro. And they have a website. I just actually pulled it up. Just so happens one of their co-founders is staying here in Caribbean, visiting here this week, and I'm supposed to see him tomorrow night. So I might pick his brain for some information and stuff. But he's staying over on Atlantic Avenue this week in a cottage over there. So, but he's been very involved in doing this type of preservation in other communities. So maybe might get some information from him.
If you'd be willing, you're welcome to give him my number.
Okay.
I would love to have a conversation with him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I'll try to get y'all hooked up.
Right, that'd be great.
Great.
He can just pull my number off the web.
Yeah.
Thank you for that work in the community.
You're welcome.
We will work with you.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Question?
Yes.
I had a question. Yes, along with the golden planting trees, what we have found very often is things are planted and then they all left to not taken care of. Is that also part of the plan?
That would make planting trees. Trees.
Keeping them back, keeping the weeds out of them, so it would be all part.
Yes, we don't get it with cuts through growing the tree.
What?
We don't get it with cuts through growing the tree.
Okay, so it actually is the whole cycle. That is part of the plan with the volunteers. We'll have volunteers that they'll plant the trees. We'll have a group that will maintain the trees, whether it's really dry season, we need the word tree planted. And then to maintain them as well.
Okay. It does, I've seen that in the neighborhood where there are lots of trees, but they'll be taken care of. Well, the plan is
sprinkler systems or whatever has to be done to maintain these as well. My next question is, who's funding this?
We fund everything through our own fundraisers. We have a golf tournament annually. We do barbecue fundraisers.
Okay.
We do several fundraisers here on the island.
Okay.
We're the group that rebuilt the house in Caroline Beach for the gentleman who was the house was condemned, and we raised funds to rebuild his house.
Part of Habitat?
It's not part of Habitat for Humanity. This is purely based here in on Pleasure Mountain between Caroline Beach and Crew Beach. We have members on the board from both towns.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on. Thank you very much. Special event film request for Florida Man. Okay, welcome to Curie Beach.
Thank you for having us. I'm Mike Hewitt, the location manager. This is Craig Rogers and Elise Boucher, who both work in our department. Been boots on the ground here for the last month or so, establishing relationships, communication, and trying to work out arrangements with the majority of the downtown businesses for our request to be able to film here for an afternoon, night, early morning project for Florida Man, new Netflix series, trying to establish this great town as part of our fictitious beach town in Florida. We have put in a request here. It's one afternoon, one night of filming this coming up week, and then we'll be following up again with a second visit after Labor Day, probably at the same location. We're trying to impact the area as little as possible with parking arrangements and stuff for crew, catering, etc. down at Fort Fisher, making arrangements and coordinating with her through for some public parking as well as some private lots. We made arrangements with a lot of business to compensate them to shut down for the evening, to help alleviate frustrations, confusion, give us more control of the area to accomplish what we need to do in a safe and efficient manner. Our primary filming is at the Gator Tail Lounge, as well as, sorry, that's the name of our location, Jack McNeil's, and the Island of Quake Mart. Those are our two Euro locations that involve central story point in our show, and then on the nighttime hours, we do have a stunt where we do a spin out in hot pursuit in the intersection as our detective is chasing somebody he's after.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you, and then a couple things that are of deep concern to me. Do you have I hope you are minimizing the number of spaces that you actually physically need for your vehicles, not so much overnight, but during the times when there still be quite a lot of activity in the town. I'll leave that with you, but I would ask you to do that to the best of your ability.
Absolutely. We contained our parking on street request basically in this little section there right by in the medium between Jack Mackerel's and Bud and Joe's, that little hero block there. We don't intend to take anything along the beachfront, the road that goes adjacent to the ocean, nothing on Fort Fisher Boulevard, some primary spaces right adjacent in that section by the Islander Quick Mart and Big Daddy's, but not in front of Big Daddy's, just in that half a medium there. We provided maps and overheads to kind of show the public parking that we want. I don't know if that's something that's possible here.
I do have those. She did provide them, yes.
We were making arrangements to rent out private lots and compensate for that, but we made arrangements for Jack Mackerel's, the gas station, Bud and Joe's, Freddy's, and maybe a couple others to basically be close for the evening to help alleviate any confusion and stress or aggravation for our one day and one night of activity of being in downtown.
Okay.
Originally, this was Friday night schedule. We did change it to a Thursday. We originally were going to request a shutdown Dow Road for that period as well, but we rescinded that and not requested it to do that either. So we're trying to be as compact as possible and as quickly and as efficiently as we can with our footprint, our presence, and our time.
Okay. I have another question for you, and that question is, do you have, if this is approved, do you have staff that can help put out cones to block off these spaces?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Reason I ask is, we are not a large town. If we have three officers out there putting up cones, they're not doing what we want them to do.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
My next question would be is, have you come to agreement with the vendors or the town businessmen that you expect to use their properties?
I believe so.
Okay. Are you?
No.
Okay, so there's, I guess there's a little bit of work that you guys have to figure out here.
Well, there was a request for us to not shut down the pier, and that's a request that we've definitely honored. We did put an inquiry about possibly closing down the arcade, but we felt that that was something that we not necessarily need to do.
What I would tell you is that discussion can be between you, right? Now, should this be approved, there are two things that I need to actually tell you that expectation has to be met. You are looking for times to 5 o'clock. We need to have you finished at 5 o'clock for very two special reasons, right?
Yes, sir.
We have to get the garbage trucks through that area before the weekend. And number two is between that time and 8 o'clock, we start parking, there will be a myriad of food trucks coming in.
Absolutely.
And if they can't get in, that's gonna just buckle up everything when it comes down to traffic for the rest of Friday. So I'd be looking for you to do that.
Yes, sir. So definitely not be filming when the sun comes up. Everything that we'll be filming at that point is exterior nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, if we start to see the sun, we're done. And obviously, we hope to be done by 5 a.m.
Okay.
That will allow us to pack up our stuff.
So
get out of the way. So we should have any effect on any delivery trucks, any food trucks, etc. The following morning.
And what I would suggest is that you clear K first.
Yes, sir.
All right? If you have some method to do it, I'd ask you to clear K first. So at this point in time, I don't know if there are any questions from the council.
I don't have any.
No, I think you covered the ones I have.
Any other questions?
Well, so y'all have some concerns?
Yeah. They haven't addressed it yet, but I'm assuming we might here in the near future. We go we've been trying to communicate today, and we have been able to communicate. I'd probably give us a ring back here, we could talk it over.
Here's the way that I look at this. That business arrangement is between Robertson family and Netflix representatives. We are here to approve their use of the town, not approve their use of their facility. So I'm sure if that doesn't work, maybe some other things don't work. So let us focus on the town. You're looking for like 3 to 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yes, sir.
So you really, I know we have to block some of those earlier, but I think the timing of the shooting, as well as your agreement to make sure you're finished on time and to move that equipment, I don't see any issues from a town perspective. Gentlemen?
No, I have no issue.
David, you see anything from a town perspective?
No, that sounds like Mike Robertson. So do the businesses and the film guys have it worked out so they're actually going to do this?
That's correct, Nate.
You do? So you're supportive of us approving them what they're asking for, which is parking and some impact the road?
We have not signed a contract for them to use Jack Michaels yet.
Okay, I understand. Okay. So well, you're working on
that. Yeah, the parking places, that's fine.
Yeah, okay, I understand. But you're supportive of the town approving it, and you guys got to work it out where you don't, and they don't do it.
I sincerely hope we can work it out for the town as well as us.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, I have another question, Mr. Mayor.
I just want to make a point. Can you hear me?
Yes.
That the parking spaces, because of the time that they're initially requesting, it's 3 in the afternoon. The town staff would more than likely block those off prior to sunrise Thursday morning to ensure
right.
that they were
sure.
made available. I just want to make sure.
Right, or they won't be there. I understand that, yes. So, Mike, are you okay with that? I mean, I'm not getting into your business or your business. This is just if you work out what you need and what you need, the town will support it.
Well, basically, they want all the parking, but they want the pier to stay open and not reimburse us. They want the arcade to stay open and not reimburse us. But they want all the parking in the downtown area and up the hill a little bit from the Big Daddy's, a little bit, maybe. And we haven't addressed my parking lots yet. You said maybe not. So, I mean, those were just the loose ends that are out there. Like I said, I'd love for them to film here. I'd love for them to come back and film here, but there's a pretty late hour.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get approval or it doesn't happen. So,
well, I guess you guys need to
talk about it.
You need to work it out by the 19th.
Yes, sir. Apologies, I thought we had an agreement and an understanding and a deal with Jack Michaels. I didn't know that you
had sent me a couple of contracts. We sent you some wordage questions, mm-hmm. and we've not had it, gotten that back yet. So we're still at balls in your court.
Whoever Megan is, that's who I sent the email to.
Hi, I'm Megan, and I'm here, and I called Beverly on the 11th, and I have a feedback from her, and I called up on her today, and I sent her and her to
yourself.net,
you know, yes, you.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need this
yes.
discussion
can we
here.
Yes.
Yes.
Which one?
Why don't they get talking in their
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to be hesitant to approve anything
yeah.
until.
So,
eyes are
why don't, whatever discussion you guys wish to have?
I'm sure we're going to come to an agreement in some fashion.
All right. We'll see. I'm sorry. I don't know who that young lady was.
Megan, she works with us, and she's helping coordinate all the contracts
okay.
with the various
okay.
people that we deal with. She's the one that helps get people paid.
All right.
So why don't we just hold on to later in the meeting and bring this back up after they've had their discussion?
So.
Yeah, make a motion. We table this until after
new business.
Okay. So we have a motion?
Second.
And we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 So what that means is that we would ask you to hang around a little longer.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me interject here. I thought we were talking down the line of their impact on the town resources.
We are, but there's no reason to set all that in motion if they aren't going to agree with this. But
well, I agree with that. But if we approve that the town is ready and the families don't, it's not
going to
happen.
And I think that needs to happen
right
first.
So we'll give it a little bit of time and see what they come up with.
People start yelling.
Yeah. No, that isn't going to happen in town hall, I'll tell you.
Be ready, Mike.
Okay, so we'll be back to 6.3, the special event. I'm sure that this thing, whatever there is, will get resolved and we can move on from that. Committee business. Bike ped.
I don't know if Mo's on the line or not, but I've got a couple things to update you on, Mayor. We did submit our grant for the COVID relief fund dollars that were out there. We met the deadline a week ago Monday. It's under review for that interchange improvement for crosswalks. Right. That's been submitted. The bicycle pedestrian plan that we were also funded for, I think they come back to us like in September for our next meeting for that. And Nikki has reached out to the National Guard for that bike ride that you sent the information for.
Yes.
And some members of the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee met with them. And when it got into questions about stuff the town would provide, we decided to send it to Nikki since it would be a special event request. And okay. She's not heard from them yet, but we've, and I think that ride's what.
I didn't send it to the National Guard. I don't have a contact with them.
Yeah, I think they told the National Guard people they need to contact Nikki and give them Nikki's contact, right. And we haven't heard from them yet. But that ride is slated to come from Raleigh and end at Fort Fisher. And I'm not even, I don't remember the date now, but whenever it is, they were wanting a little bit of help with traffic control, so we decided since it was that type thing, we needed to get a formal request from them and the group and insurance and all that stuff right. That we require. So we've not heard from them on that yet. So
okay.
Working through that. So that's all for bicycle pedestrian.
An estimate of that date, the Raleigh to?
I'll see if I can find it, Mayor. John, I'll get it to you.
Jimmy, do you know when we're going to put that path in? From the bike path to Settlers? I think that was approved in the, do you know when that's gonna happen at all?
It was scheduled to do this year. There's no.
Sometime during the year.
Yes.
Okay, so there's no specific date.
It's when they're in town paving.
Yeah.
When we're doing our paving projects, it's part
of
that.
That's right, so. Okay. Okay, very good. Nothing else?
No, sir.
Okay. Community Center Committee. Well, we've added some members, and that thing's starting to chug along again. So hopefully we'll be able to get as active as we were before COVID began. Historic Preservation Commission.
Craig Galbraith, Chairperson of the Historic Preservation Commission. We've got a number of things here. This all kind of, I think, goes back to the process of tweaking, continuous tweaking of what we're doing. I think we've got it down pretty good, but there's certainly some tweaking that's going on. I believe the first item is a moot item now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes, the first item is off the agenda.
That's off. Okay, so. But that kind of just tells us what the problem is and why we're addressing the other issues.
Right.
So the next one is, again, what you talk about, but it's really kind of a combination of several things. And this all has to do with the membership items. One is the removal of the B1 membership. I'm sure, as you know, that for the last 3 months, we have aggressively, and I will say aggressively, advertised. We've individually talked with people, and we simply can't get the V1 members to join. The other problem that we have is the alternate member. So originally the idea was to have a 7-member commission and then have 2 alternate members, similar to the planning and zoning, although we only have 5. We have not been able to get applications for that, again, with our continuous effort. So what we're recommending is kind of a combination of things. We'll remove the 2 alternate member requirements, so we still have a 7-person membership. However, we do have an alternate member for the planning and zoning. We've always been successful in getting people to be our alternate members, and then we'll take the role of a membership. And so we're recommending in this is that the alternate member become one of the 7 members. So we have 5 members of planning and zoning as 5 of the 7 members of the Historic Preservation Commission. The alternate member of planning and zoning would become the 6th member. And then we're still seeking a 7th member, but again, it would no longer be required, assuming that you pass it, that it would be from the B1. We prefer to have somebody from the B1 district. We'd certainly be nice if we could get somebody to apply, but it wouldn't require. So there's a number of different issues all kind of tied up in this. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Eldridge for any additional comments.
Thank you, Craig. Counselor.
Yes, sir. My comments are just procedural. Jeremy Mulbert is right. HPC keeps tinkering with the HPC member requirements as a challenge to what members to get board. Procedurally, we need to consider and take action on the proposed text amendment that we had the legislative hearing with earlier today, and that is dropping the B1 ownership requirement. The additional considerations of that Chairman Goldberg mentioned, having the alternate PCC come in as a HPC member and dropping the alternate member requirements, that was a consensus that HPC reached a month after this one. So when we get to those, appointing the PCC alternate to the HPC and dropping the alternate members, you need to fix the legislative hearing date for that next month, and then we'll act on that next month. But for the present moment, what's in front of you on the screen is dropping the B1 membership requirement. You've had your legislative hearing on that. Consistency statements are not required because it's a text amendment to Chapter 12. So if you have any questions, we'll be glad to answer them, but an opportune time to go ahead and consider and act on that.
How hard have we tried to get a business member?
We've been pretty aggressive, without a doubt.
I know I have talked to at least 2 individuals.
Myself included.
I think we've been at it for at least 3 months.
Minimum of 3 months.
Yeah. Advertised.
Advertised, spoken to people, taken applications to people.
Hold on.
Okay.
So call in and we'll fill it out for you.
Again, we thought we had the full 7, but we still don't. Mm-hmm. Given what happened with agenda item number 1.
And again, we're not ruling out B1 ownership.
Yeah, right. We're just not making it mandatory anymore.
We've been somewhere between 90 and 120 days with this. Mr. Eldridge is going to do some quasi-judicial training with the group, and then we're also going to bring in the Council of Government to go over some quasi-judicial training.
Right.
So we need to start.
I agree.
We've done what we've done, what we could do, but that's like, okay, now we need to start moving forward.
I agree. I think it's time for us to move on from that particular. That shouldn't be a roadblock to all the fine work that's been done to get us here.
Exactly.
Right. So there's been a lot of effort.
We also have to set for the legislative hearing the other recommendations.
Yeah, we'll get to that agenda item after you all entertain a motion on whether to accept this.
Okay. Okay, so. Gentlemen, I think you've had the opportunity to read this. I believe we need a motion to change it.
A motion to adopt the proposed text amendment.
Make a motion to adopt proposed text amendment to KBC 12.04.030 HPC composition.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Aye.
Okay, that one's done.
Now, getting to the next agenda item, It's the same section of the code, 120430, which is the NA, the composition of the HPC. Again, this was consensus reached during HPC's August meeting. It does constitute an amendment to the development regulations, so we will need, just like we did tonight, for you all to fix a legislative hearing date for September. We can also put on the September's regular agenda action on this proposed text amendment. But as Chairman Goldberg mentioned, what the amendment consists of in paragraph 1, A1, is to appoint the alternate DCC member to the HPC. That's an automatic appointment. And then delete in the original number 4 at the bottom of the page, the and number 2 and 4, deleting the requirement to have two alternate members for HPC, because that ends up trying to appoint a 9-person board. And that, so you've seen the challenges just with the ownership requirement.
Sure.
So if it's the board's pleasure, we would HPC request to set a legislative hearing date and to also place this item on the regular agenda, both for the September meeting.
I make a motion we have the legislative hearing at 5:15 before our next council meeting.
Do I have
we called emergency meeting at 5:30.
Right.
So us, we would do this at 5:15 prior, right?
Yeah, you're right.
All right, never mind. 5:15,
good.
Okay.
5:15 legislative. Yes, sir. 5:30 emergency.
Now you're going to do it before the emergency meeting.
Yeah.
5:30 is emergency.
Yep. So it'd be 5 to 5:30. Does that work for you, counselor, or does that is that okay? Okay.
Now related to that, we also have in HPC's rules of procedure the same alternate member requirements. So what we are proposing in order to have everything being synchronized is text amendments to the HPC's rules of procedure where we, like the proposed text amendment you just saw, drop the requirement for two alternate members. My suggestion is you can act on this amendment tonight or September. I think it's 6 1/2 dozen to the other, although in September both items being similar being acted on at the same time may be a consistent way to proceed. But no legislative hearing, please.
Do you have a particular judgment?
Not really.
Okay. All right, so then, Council, what's your view? You want to act on this tonight, or you want to do them both in concert?
Let's do them both at the same time.
That's fine.
Do them both. You all right with that? Yeah. You okay with that? Okay, we'll do them both at the same time in the next meeting.
Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Chairman Goldberg for a minute.
Let me get the page. I made a motion, which was never seconded.
The next, last item here has to do with the fee schedule. We did have a rather lengthy, robust discussion about this. There are two issues related to the fee schedule. One is for minor certificates, for minor work, certificate of appropriateness, and we all agreed on $25 for that. When it came down to the major work, again, we had a rather robust discussion, and the majority of the HPC felt that it should be consistent with the Board of Adjustment fees because it involved the same type of work. John was very active in terms of that discussion, too. If you have any questions, I'm sure that John would be willing to talk about that. But what you have before you is a recommendation from the HPC for $25 as an application fee for minor work for COA and $375 for major work. But again, major work does involve a lot more effort on terms of John's work, on terms of the HPC and a number of other issues too. So again, that was the recommendation of the majority of the HPC.
Major work requiring a quasi judicial hearing.
Just like Board of Adjustments.
Well, yeah, is this like a permit fee or is this the fee to have your you know, what you want to get accomplished, considered by the commission.
Exactly. HPC last month approved some application forms, and again, there's two ways to proceed, minor work and major work. And the application forms have been developed, and the application instructions have been developed, so these would be the application fees.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right.
Again, no legislative hearing. You can act on these tonight. Mm-hmm. The amendments are to the fee schedule, which is adopted as part of budget ordinance.
Will?
I'm fine with it. Yeah. I think it's fair, consistent.
I'll entertain a motion to accept these fees.
Make a motion to amend the fee schedule to accept these.
I make a motion to amend the fee schedule for fiscal year 21-22 for the proposed HPC fees.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Land Use Plan Committee.
We had our first public meeting maybe a week and a half ago, well attended. We went over the survey with the citizens that attended, and we got some feedback for their views on issues the town is facing, paving of the roads and stormwater was the hot topics, which was kind of what we would expect, of course. But overall, just as the surveys that we received for the land use plan, generally the feeling is everything is going well within Curry Beach with minor problems, you know. I'll toot our horn for a moment. Town council was mentioned as an asset to the town.
Yeah.
You know, they don't hear how we argue in the back, but they just they see this pleasant group up front. You know, but it went very well. I was encouraged by it, and we will have our next meeting in September. We will get more into the policy chapters and start gaining speed on this pretty rapidly over the next few months, and have it well handled by July 1st of next year.
Good. I mean, that survey is important. Land use plan is important, but it's just a document. We have to take action to that document when we get it colored in, or whatever you want to call it. What are we going to do about things like green space? What are you going to do about things like the sewers that are maybe, I mean, we have a lot of plans in a lot of areas. They're consistent with where everything is going, but we need to look a little beyond that as well. So, and but council, right now, it's just get the plan done.
And the Council of Government's doing a great job leading us. So, well, I'm very pleased with their work so far also.
Yeah, I am too. Council of Government's has done a fine job. That was a good pick, Joseph. I was skeptical, but it was a good pick. Parking Committee. Ladies and gentlemen, we have passed $600,000. I guess that's enough said for now.
With a month and a half to go.
By the way, we just passed it today, but we are moving ahead at a good pace.
Mayor?
Yeah, I see. We'll finish the committee portion.
Skip marketing committee.
Marketing committee. Sorry, John.
We have not been meeting during this time, but I guess the news is we have four new members appointed as of this meeting in the consent agenda. So we'll get together soon.
Okay. There's a new proposal from the Consumer Development Authority about a single marketing push for the area as opposed to each of the individual towns. After you get people here, there'll be a push for the individual towns. So I don't know if it'll be Silver Coast or whatever, but they're coming up with something. which I think is a better use of the cash. It will allow us to get, we'll be using other people's money to push the area. Planning and zoning, you already finished that, or you have more to tell us? Okay.
Again, Craig Albrecht, we're at a different hat now, chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Just a little bit of a background, because even though this looks like a fairly minor type of text amendment proposal, we actually had a lot of discussion on this, because there is a history with this also. This has to do, it started basically with an application, if you will, from a homeowner who has a corner lot. And basically, we have setbacks in the front as well as on the side yards. And so a corner lot will have both those setbacks fronting mm-hmm. streets. Well, without a corner lot, most people will put their propane tanks and put their air conditioning units on the side without any problem. On a corner lot, however, that fronts the street. You know, that would be the non-front lot that they would have. And so prior to that, there was a 10-foot, basically a prohibition of that type of activity. Some houses have done it, but we really needed to look at this. So even though this was initiated by a single homeowner, what you're seeing before you would cover all of Curie Beach. And what we're recommending here is that, as you can see in red, that things like whole house generators, we've actually specified it to, whole house generators, HVAC units, and propane tanks, no taller than 6 feet. So you can't have something 10 feet, right. For example. You know, so there is an aesthetic type of issue there. Within the first 5 feet of a structure served when the required 10-foot side yard of a corner lot. And that is then would be an exception to that prohibition. So this would allow somebody to come in who has a corner lot that wants to put a propane tank or a HVAC unit, as long as it's not higher than 6 feet, on the side setback, as long as it's within the first five feet.
We did 5 feet next to the house.
First 5 feet to the house, right?
Yes.
Not to the street.
Right.
We did have a discussion because a lot of the setback requirements are considered for emergency use, so fire engines or
right.
ambulances could get in. We did have a discussion of that, and we felt that really that prior regulation that didn't allow that was more of an aesthetic than an emergency that really wouldn't affect the emergency type of issues. So our recommendation to you is that you decide to adopt this. This would have to go for a legislative hearing also, but our proposal is that it is sent for a legislative hearing. You have also before you the consistency statement from planning and zoning, and you also have either a con or a pro consistency statement based upon how you feel that you should go on this particular. So our recommendation is to set this for legislative hearing.
Okay. Are there any questions? Any questions?
So Craig.
Yes.
David here.
Yes.
Craig, on the side part of a corner lot, so a standard lot in Curie Beach in the middle is 5 foot on the side, 20 on the front, 10 on the back. So is there something else that makes that 10 foot on a corner lot when it's the side of the property, not the front facing part of the property?
Yes, there is. And John,
there is.
And John can explain that if you want more detail.
Corner lot that is 10 yards.
Well, I'm just interested in.
Yeah. Okay. John's going to come to the podium here.
Thank you.
Corner lots are defined in the ordinance, and the front of the lot is always considered the narrow part of the lot. So on the long side of the lot, that would be considered the minor thoroughfare, and there's a 10-foot side setback required there.
What if it's a perfect 100 by 100?
Okay.
Ordinance goes on to specify.
Can you get it?
Go ahead, sir.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The ordinance specifies that the property owner can take at that point.
Whichever side they put the front door in.
Yep.
Okay.
It's not
going to
happen.
So we're making an exception to the only part. I mean, I'm fine with how we're doing it. I would be just not changing the 5 foot like everywhere else in the side yard. And do we know how that got in there? Because I'm interested a little bit in that now. I mean, we still have the town right of way. and any easements.
Are you referencing the 10-foot side setback?
Yes, so I'm not there.
My research on that is that that 10-foot side setback was placed there for line of sight views going down the street.
Okay. Thank you, that's all I'm quick to have, Mr. Mayor.
So, you said line of sight for?
All the other houses down the block.
Yeah, okay.
Like if a dog were to run out or a child or something.
No, sir.
No, just view.
Wouldn't that be line of sight? You can see.
Yeah.
All of the above. Okay. So.
Will they be required to put any type of screening around this?
That was discussed, but wasn't placed in the ordinance.
But HOAs, I mean, the HOA areas are probably going to have it. But the general parts of town that doesn't have HOAs, they wouldn't be required to have a screening or buffer, I mean, screening or shrubbery, anything like that.
No. Any other questions? No? Okay.
So we
we'll
need
entertain
to
a motion.
We need to, we're going to have a legislative hearing?
Yes.
Not for this.
It's a chapter 15.
No, we just need a motion for this and a motion for the consistency.
Mandy's saying we need a legislative hearing for this.
We do need a legislative
hearing. Yes, we need a legislative hearing.
I will say I feel this is
creepy. Well, we
open the door for this, then the door's...
It's wide open.
It's cracked, and you know, a cracked door you can kick in.
Is this part of 160?
Well, I feel like it's the property owner's ability to use their property like everyone else with any other spot on the court can do. But then everyone else in Tree Beach can put something in that 5 feet unless you're on the corner lot. That's why I was asking where it came from. So to me, it's restoring the property rights of people on the corner, but that's just me. I hear you, Joe.
Well, I'm okay with scheduling a public hearing and then us making our decision.
Yeah, I was voicing my initial.
Yeah.
After the conversation we had, it's the thing that lingers in my mind the most at our P&Z meeting.
Yep.
The mayor asked a question about why this needs to go to public hearing. This is a Chapter 15, and Chapter 15 has always been required.
Yeah, that's right. It does. It
now
does
with 160, we have other categories that might end up in Chapter 12, like we have previously, that also have to go to public hearing. But Chapter 15 always has to go to public hearing.
Yeah, it does require a public hearing, yes. Okay.
So, right. Do we just need to set the public hearing, and that's it tonight? That's all right. I'll make a motion that we have a set of legislative hearing for our next at the same
5 p.m.
5 p.m. or immediately after. Why don't we just do it?
Yeah, let's just do it immediately after our 5:15, then we can roll.
Yeah, immediately after the.
If everybody gets vaccinated, our emergency meeting is
you have to put a definite time.
Yeah, so choose 5.
Let's do 5.
We've already got one at 5:15.
Okay, I make a motion we do a legislative hearing on this matter at 5 p.m. prior to our next council meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Shoreline access and beach protection. I don't know if Dennis is on the line.
Nothing major going on with the group.
All the signs are up?
Everything's fine. Jimmy, again, everything looks great on the beach.
Okay. Stormwater committee, anything, David?
No, we did not meet this month. We don't know updates. We're still waiting on the state for approving our permit.
Okay.
And our plan, they're very far back, though.
Okay. Gentlemen, are we ready to close our discussion with the Netflix team?
With much arm twisting, they got me to agree everything.
Okay. So we have, there are no issues to consider.
Are there any changes to the town?
I don't think so. look at an opportunity to look through everything that might have been put in front of you as far as our application, overhead maps, intro letter. I see a memo there.
Yeah, that's all in their packets.
Okay. All right. So
specific questions for us?
Things are resolved, I assume. Okay.
And we will be coming back to you again for another request to film after Labor Day at these same locations.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to accept.
You know, ask me to be an extra, but I had to turn it down. My real job is busy. So.
Done.
No, I was just kidding.
All right. We'll make the original main plan.
Yeah, I'd hate to have to counsel them. So.
I'll make a motion we accept the film permit as presented for Florida Man.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. It's passed.
Thank you. Thank
you. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing it on the tube.
It's not the kids.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Thank you.
Department head business administration.
Nothing to report.
What?
I don't have anything.
Okay, thank you. Building inspections department.
I don't really have anything to report, but I hope you guys read the garbage code enforcement report.
Yeah, I did want to. I was going to ask about that. There's 92 violations. And I think at some point in time, we need to actually officially fine people.
Well, that's what I wanted to point out. She's been fining people, and we've actually received some of the payments for those fines.
Well, one that I was concerned about the last line, John, 300 outstanding. Are they refusing to pay, or are they just not due to pay?
I think those were all pretty recently issued, so like less than 30 days. So she just went ahead and put it in.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not really, honestly, I'm surprised we received payment for two so far. So.
Are we seeing it, the situation get better?
Well, you tell me, I think so. I mean, it's.
I mean, but yeah, but bad. Y'all the ones out counting cans, so I'm not, I mean, is it?
It seems to me that it's getting better, and I believe Beth would agree.
I mean, when you look at the violations, there's repetitive violations in that list, and it looks like more than it would be because it's repetitive. But if you look at the address, there's a couple addresses who, frankly, should put their garbage away when they're supposed to put their garbage away for the beauty of the rest of the town. So, okay.
This
you let us know if you get any.
It's a really hard thing for us to do. And
yeah.
I'm proud of the results that we have so far. I feel like we're really making a dent in it.
I think Bethany's doing a good job. And she's pleasant about explaining it. And that's even better, right? So, okay, thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
Finance Department. Arlen, what do you have for us tonight?
Just had one item. It's actually two resolutions, though, that you have in your agenda packet. It actually relates back to something that was discussed at the April Town Council meeting, and it was to apply for two grants, one for the water infrastructure, one for sewer. The grants to actually go in and inventory and assess all of our infrastructure, so something that was highly recommended by our engineer also, and he is the one that's putting together the application. These resolutions are necessary because there's actually matching that the town's going to have to contribute. So the resolutions are just part of the application process, but to say that the town is committed to providing those grant matches.
Okay. I mean, the resolutions are fine. There's a paragraph in there. You probably think I don't read them, but there's a paragraph in there that says if we don't perform, we, like, give it up.
Right, and a lot of it has to do with, again, it really relates back to the fact that the council has committed mm-hmm. to providing the matching funds.
That's okay.
So, and We still haven't received the grant, still in the application process, so we may not even receive the grant anyway, but the, these resolutions are required for the application. If we do get the grant, each one is $150,000, so we have a 20% match, so in total, $60,000 match.
Okay.
But well worth it, you know, based on what we get from it. It will also help with future grants and loans for those who rent.
Right. Small risk for using somebody else's money. So, gentlemen, I've read through those. I am willing to sign them with the permission of counsel.
Yeah, I make a motion we approve resolution R21-06 and R21-07 with the support of grants for the water and sewer systems of the town of Crew Beach.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Moving right along. What else you have? Thank you, Arlen.
Thank you.
Fire department? He's in the middle of a meeting.
He went to chair of his meeting and said he had sent me a note that there's nothing additional.
Beyond his report? Okay. Police department?
Nothing, sir.
Looked like a busy month, Chief, on your report.
Yeah, we're busier now than we ever have been. Seems like it, so.
Yeah. Was it busier than last year, in your mind?
Yeah, because of COVID, but seems like everybody's getting out this year.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Gentlemen, if you don't read the police report, it's a very interesting document. Public Works, Jimmy. 22 million gallons of water, Jimmy?
Absolutely. I was thirsty this month, Barry.
Holy cow. That last month was 18.
Yeah. Sure enough. But I've only got one thing on the agenda for tonight is the local water supply plan.
Yeah.
That I need resolution from you guys. We submit it every year. It's just basically detailing our water system and stuff like that for the rural water. So I'm looking for resolution from council tonight to get it signed and get it turned in.
Okay. Is that in the documents?
Mm-hmm.
It is. Okay.
Jimmy, for the council's knowledge, were there any significant changes to the plant plan? Basically, it's the same number of wells and the same wells we're using. Were there any other changes the council should be aware of?
No, sir. No, not really. It's pretty much almost identical as it was last year. There is a few little changes that we hopefully can make this year with now that we get the city works implemented. But basically, it's the same carbon copy it was last year, David.
Right. That's one I want to highlight, council. So we're not adding any wells in our plan. We're not taking any offline. The plan just makes sure you tell the state of North Carolina how you plan to service your users as a water company. So that's why this resolution.
Okay.
It's something that council needs to do. But if there were significant changes, Jimmy and I were wrong with the council. That's what I'm trying to highlight. I'm sorry I'm saying very little.
So, I mean, I'm okay with that, Jimmy. But I do have a question because I don't know the answer, obviously. We pump 22 million gallons, 18 million gallons. How do we know when we need another well?
You got a 12-hour supply.
12 hours?
Yes, okay, yes, and then we go by state regulated.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we go off of.
So, 12-hour supply. Yes. And at 20... At 20 million gallons, we have a 12-hour supply.
Yes.
So, like, if July 4th weekend, July 4th on a Saturday, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we go to 10 hours worth of water at that point, because everybody's coming off the beach and showering, we would have a problem and look at another well.
Yes, sir. Yes. Have to open up. Eventually, you know, the population keeps growing, we will eventually probably have to open up a different well.
Okay. But we've got wells that we're not using.
Yes, we do have. We have
yeah.
wells.
Yes. Well, one well we're not using, I think.
Sir.
One well we're not using right now.
We have two.
Two we're not using.
Yeah, we have Assembly and North Avenue.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
I learned something.
Do we need to read this resolution or just have a motion to approve it?
I think we just need the motion to do it. It would be probably boring.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 21-05, which is approval of the local water supply plan.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, passes. Unanimous.
I think Nikki's tied up out there, Mayor.
Yes.
And just department heads, just be aware, I'll send an email out on Friday. Matsu will be here next Tuesday at 9 a.m. inspecting everything, so.
Things are going well, so let's ship shape.
Nice and tidy.
Here she comes. She's there waiting by.
Okay. There's still, she may be coming in. She can tell us how it's gone.
Yeah.
Joe, since the fire chief's not there, can you send an email reminding?
Yes, I will. I was going to send an email out to everybody Friday just to remind them, just, you know, because we have our other meeting with them Wednesday, too, the day after, so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll pass.
Wait till Friday.
Okay. Recreation report, anything to comment?
No, I don't think. It's just a monthly report, and here she comes.
Okay. Your timing is impeccable. Anything from recreation, Nikki?
No.
Anything new to report from the discussions?
No.
Okay.
Happy
All right. Thank you.
Can change any minute?
For the month. It's not Thursday yet.
Yeah. Oh, mercy. Okay. The old business is cleaned up. Thank goodness. But we do have new business. The discussion on Bald Head Island resolution opposing the issuance of wind energy leases within 24 miles of North Carolina shores. Okay, I passed you a sample of a resolution that was written by the mayor and council of our friends on Bald Head Island about the proposed, and I guess leased, area that is set up for wind turbines in the ocean. They are taking a position against the current leasing because it is within the 24 miles that had been established for other areas of North Carolina and within the 33 miles that were established for areas of Virginia. And they had asked if we would go along and support this activity with them. And we, frankly, we've had a position on a lot of things. We have not really openly discussed our position on wind turbines. I'll start. I am not a fan of wind turbines that are going to be within view of our shore. So if that means 24 miles. Matter of fact, David sent out a document that showed wind turbine farms. They're all in the UK, thank goodness, at I think 5.9 miles, 10 miles, and 15 miles. And on a hazy day, you just see them standing out there spinning away by the pictures. It's even more interesting if you happen to read the 12 pages of the article. So, I am not necessarily in a point where I want to write a resolution that says, let's not do this to save old Baldy, but there may come a point in time where we wish to have a resolution to say that we wish to protect our shore, or we wish not to. I bring it up, and we don't have to make any decisions tonight, gentlemen, but I would like you to start thinking about this, or comment if you wish.
Well, for the general audience, I attended a meeting of BOEM, the Bureau of Environmental Management, Ocean Management, about a month ago. And they talked about
these two areas off of Bald Head, and they're designated the Wilmington West area, which is closer to shore, and then the Wilmington East area, which is further away from shore. Those two areas do not touch each other because they leave a space between the two designated areas, and this is all proposal right now, for the shipping channel to come in there and come up to the Cape Fear River, you know, with all the tanker ships, container ships. So at that meeting, the majority of the people at the meeting, different council members of different towns and cities along the coast, and other representatives of government agencies, agreed that they should not do the western area at all, the one that's closest to shore, and it's real close, and that concentrate on the eastern area. That had no necessarily impact on the organization known as BOA. It wasn't an official resolution or a vote taken or something like that. It was a consensus of the people attending that meeting after listening to the proposed areas and some of the environmental impacts that they talked about, lots of different ocean animals, the shipping channels themselves, the size and location of the wind turbines. Then a great number of the people in the meeting did not think the east, the western area should even be discussed. The eastern area, part, all of that, and I have some maps if anybody wants to look at one.
Here, John, I got them.
The eastern area is a block of land under there, is totally viewable within this 24 miles of Bald Head Island, and they use the people up in Old Baldy. It is a historical place that you can go visit. And if you're up in Old Baldy, you can see 24 miles out. And you can see almost all of that. 24 miles from here, Geary Beach, you could probably see at least half of that area if you take the map and do the geometry. So it would be, some of that area would be viewable by Curie Beach residents.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just throw that out there. But it's a long way from happening. They have not done an environmental impact statement for either viewership or the transmission lines on the ground, the turtles, the right whale, seabirds, all those types of environmental issues have not been studied. If you have not had a chance to read the Bald Head resolution, it mentions in there that BOA even has agreed to the Kitty Hawk area being at least 24 miles offshore. And I think the one up in Virginia, as the mayor mentioned, is BOEM has agreed to a 33-mile offshore area. So I don't know why they're, I don't know all the technology behind why they picked this close-in site for Wilmington.
Now, factually, just one last note is, when they set up the original areas, the wind turbines were much smaller in height and much smaller in mass. Craig.
I was going to mention that, that I believe the original buffer zone was set up based upon simulations done in 2015. And that when you look at the wind size of wind turbines right now, they're almost double of what they were when that simulation was done. The government says simulation and projections are for the next 10 years. So if they're going to approve a 24 mile now, it's not just the height of the turbines right now, but they're getting larger and larger because the technology is going. So you're looking at probably something that's almost four times larger in terms of the turbines versus the simulation that was done in 2015. So 24 miles is not going to take care of the problem. It might have been in 2015, but certainly not in the future. So if anything, I think we need to be concerned more about a 33 type of mile
right,
type of thing, because these things are
getting larger.
Well,
a big argument in the Baldhead Island resolution is also, as we know the way the government works sometimes, if you say we'll even make it 24 and get the leases, and then the companies bid on the leases and win the bid, they're going to go out there and start doing things. And so Mr. Galbraith's point is well taken, in that if you go ahead and lease it and then try to get them to keep it small, probably not going to happen. Once you lease that property to a company, then, you know, it'll be carte blanche almost.
Hey, they're going to have to survey those areas to put in anything that massive, and we're going to get right back to the sonar issues. So
most of the ones are going to be offshore, that far offshore, are actually going to be pontoon, kind of like the oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually floating. They're not pylon down to the bottom of the seafloor. So it's not that difficult to have it out there in the ocean, as long as they can anchor it.
Yeah.
But these things will tend to float like the oil rigs. And just imagine seeing an oil rig. I mean, essentially, you're looking at something the height of one of these Gulf of Mexico oil rigs, 24 miles offshore.
So, well,
and probably even, hundreds of them.
I would say, even if you can anchor it, you're not going to anchor anything that large to anything but bedrock. Yeah. And you're going to have to find that bedrock. So, I mean, this is kind of wrapped up in a different approach to, I'm all for alternative energy. I think there's got to be less expensive alternative energy than ocean-bound wind turbines.
I have actually sailed on cruise ships in and amongst, going in and out of ports in Europe and England and some places up in there, among wind turbines that are in the port areas where you're kind of dodging the big post that holds the wind turbine up. It didn't seem to bother me as I was sitting on my veranda.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So I just bring it up as this is something that's going to be in front of us. Let's do a little work so we come up with a reasonable position, and then we can come up with our own resolution if we so deem. Okay? We don't need to duplicate theirs. Any comments, David?
Not really. Everything on you guys said. That's why I sent you the study. John is accurate. So is Craig Gilbraith, that the sizes are getting bigger, and the studies were all smaller and farms. I agree with Lawhead and supportive of us encouraging them to put them within 24 miles out. If you stand on Pure Beach on a clear day and look towards Bridal Beach, which is only 15 miles away, you can see the ocean, Bridal Beach skyscrapers. None of them were 600 feet tall. So that's 15 miles away. 15 miles away, if you had a bunch of wind farms, you definitely see them. I kind of agree with their 24 miles, just the math makes it agreeable, and then it goes with what BOEM has done in two other places. So I think their point is a pretty strong point, so I'm in favor of us having a resolution of something like that. So who's going to work on it if we're going to defer it, right? It can't just stop.
Well, I'm not going to support it, so I can't work on it.
So, okay. Well, we'll figure this out.
Fair enough.
I will just throw out one more thing. If you're interested in more information, you can Google on Boehm, B-O-E-M, and there is a lot of wind energy information where they've already started some. Some places have been already leased up and down the coast of the Atlantic.
Yeah. It's really not a not here. It's like a not there. Right? So.
Baldhead's not even populated that heavily year round.
I would tell you, well, okay. I mean, you can.
The hyper rich upset that their view is going to be.
We can. You will have an opportunity to make your argument, Joseph. Okay. The mayor updates. I think we've covered everything I had to say. Yes?
Sorry. Just real quick for staff direction, I need to respond to Baldhead and let them know that. We are going to.
Yeah, tell them we're taking a look at our position on this, if you would, or I can send a note to Mayor Shane or whatever. You and I'll work on it.
That's realistic, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And just to let them know that we need to work through it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I put it on next month's agenda, or are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure. Thank you.
Right. Commissioner items. How about you, Joseph? Let's start with you.
We will have the meeting. The Matsu Joint Land Use Plan is coming back after COVID. We probably just going to squeeze one meeting in before we're shut back down. But Mandy and I will attend next Wednesday morning in Leland. We will see where we stand with everything, and I do believe the impetus of this is to try to get the towns. Everybody that has needs that is associated or infringes upon Matsu territory to kind of get everything cataloged and then hopefully a path forward. So hopefully we can get some movement on some of the one big project we have with them and the lot and the pipe along Settlers. So
you need something from me on that, I believe, based on, so we'll work on that.
Yeah.
You and I, Mandy. Anything else?
No.
Alan?
Nothing tonight. No.
John?
Nothing additional.
David?
He just dropped.
Oh, he did? Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. You have anything you wanted to add under commissioner items, David?
No, sir. I'm sorry. I dropped it. Dropped it. Just got back. No, sir. I've done that.
Okay, so we have a closed session identified. I'd like to have a motion to move to closed session.
I'll make a motion and we go into closed session per NCGS 143-318.11 with attorney-client privilege.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.